We are in a series titled Growth of the Church, and today is part five, and we've been talking about the last few weeks how God wants to do two things in us. Number one, he wants each person here to grow spiritually in maturity. It's an individual journey. The second part is he wants to grow us numerically, which means people that aren't here, he wants to bless, and he wants to use us to be that link to them. The title of today's message is this: The Power of Your Story. We're going to be talking about the woman at the well that TJ read about and how the power of her story impacted people. Now, I want you to understand, your story has the power to impact people as well. I've got about a 59-second video by Rick Warren. I want you to watch. Here it is.
I'm Rick Warren, pastor of Saddleback Church, author of The Purpose-Driven Life. You can't love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength if you don't love your neighbors yourself. And you can't love your neighbors yourself if you don't love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. I want you to have the joy and the privilege of leading somebody to accept Christ. I don't want you to get to heaven one day and Jesus say, who are you bringing with you? And you go, oh, I didn't take time. And the first day, Emily led a person to Christ. She had never led anybody to Christ, scared to death. But then all of a sudden, once it happens, it's addicting. It's in your blood. It's better than any kind of drug. Yesterday, Emily led 14 people to Christ personally. She's 21 years old. I want you to experience that joy this week. Your friends around you are waiting to be saved.
So it's a great clip, which Rick shares with passion, that each of us, some point in our life, need to help lead someone to Christ. And over the next few months, we're going to be tackling that and try to equip each of us here of how to do that better. But I want us to understand today, God took a woman who had a very checkered past, and he used her to touch other people's lives through her story. And our key verse is verse 39. It's in your notes. Let's read that together. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. Now, here's the foundation of the story. Jesus goes to a well. There's a Samaritan woman there, and he's Jewish, she's Samaritan, and there's racial divide between those two groups of people. Didn't stop him. He transcends all that. And they enter into a conversation, and he said to her, if you knew who you were talking to, you would ask me for water, and you would never thirst again. Well, the conversation continued to unfold, and then Jesus asked the woman a question. Go and call your husband. Bring him back. She says, I don't have one. And he says, you have spoken accurately because you have had five husbands, and the man you are with, number six, is not your husband. Now, this woman had to be shocked, rattled, because he spoke something about her past that she wondered where he knew it. And through the course of conversation, she realized that he, Jesus, is the Messiah, the promised one. There was a life change that happened in this woman who is deeply broken. Five marriages. The man she was with was not her husband. She must have had many unmet needs. But something happened inside her. And she had an embrace, a connection with Christ himself, and her life was changed. Now here's what happened. As the story continues on, she goes back to her hometown where the people knew her. They knew her reputation. They knew her past. They knew the patterns of her life. Maybe she was just somebody that they did not want to associate with. But here's what happened. She begins to tell her story of what changed in her life. And it says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him, Christ, because of the woman's testimony. Everybody here has a faith story. If you are in Christ, if you are on the journey, let me tell you, you have a story. Now, I want you to grasp this. God will take you and your story, if you're willing to share it with other people, to make a difference in other people's lives. I don't know why God chose us. We're human beings. We're frail. We blow it. We make mistakes. But he chose us to be messengers to people around us who have not yet figured out who Jesus truly is, all because we can tell our story. I've asked Bjorg to come, if she could come right now, and she called me on the phone some time ago and said, well, our life group was talking about this and this, and they just got excited about something. So I've asked her to come and take a few minutes just to share. Bjorg.
Morning. Exciting things are happening in our life groups. God is there, and he's teaching us so many things. But anyway, we're studying the Gospel of John, and we'd been praying, you know, that the Lord would show us some things. Everyone is getting different things from the Lord through this chapter, through this book. So in John chapter 1, I called Pastor because this really stood out to me. It's the chapter where John the Baptist is baptizing people, and the Spirit of the Lord says to him, when you see the one that comes for baptism where the Holy Spirit comes on him, that's the one who is the Savior of the world. So, you know, John was looking for Jesus, and when Jesus came and he was baptized, John saw the Spirit come on him. And John continued to tell his disciples and all the people that were around him, this is the Lamb of God. He's here. Your Messiah is here. He's the Lamb of God. And so as we go down a little further in the story, the Lord showed me that after John had baptized Jesus, Jesus came on the scene where John was, and John had two disciples with him. And the disciples saw Jesus, and John said, this is the Lamb of God, and they followed Jesus. And one of them was Andrew, the brother of Peter. And as soon as John, you know, released his disciples, and these two disciples spent some time with Jesus. I mean, can't imagine what that would have been like, just be in his presence all day. But anyway, Andrew went and he found his brother Peter, and he said, the Messiah has come. And then from there, it says that there was a man named Philip. Jesus went to Philip and he said, follow me. And this man followed Jesus. And then Philip went to tell Nathanael, and then Nathanael followed Jesus. So in the first chapter of John, we see the gospel story going from one person to the next and on and on and on. And it just came to life in me. It just spoke something so different to me. And, you know, as I was listening to that, and Pastor, I was here this morning for the service. You're going to hear a great message. It's going to be wonderful. But anyway, someone said, I was watching this Christian program, and they said, that people are the only thing that we get to take with us to heaven. You know, and boy, that really hit my spirit. It was like, it's all about the people. It's all about the people that we can tell about Jesus and get them to come into heaven. We are responsible to tell them. And I heard another little story. I just want to end with this, that there was a man who was a professor at a college who was an atheist. And he didn't want to have anything to do with God. Well, he got very sick, and he died, and he was in the hospital, and his spirit left his body, and he was kind of hanging between heaven and earth. And he saw the horror of what it would be, I mean, between heaven and hell. He saw the horror of what hell was like. And while he was in this state, a song came to him that he had learned as a small child in Sunday school. It was, Jesus loves me, this I know. And that song impacted him so much in that state he was in that it turned his whole life around. So, you know, I was just thinking, whether it's Sunday school, adult class, life groups, things that we hear in Jesus impact everyone from age from birth to when we go home to be with him. So I just want to encourage you to share the story, your story.
Let's give her a hand. Thank you, Bjor. The only thing we take with us after this life is over to heaven is other people. Think about it. And so we are under an assignment from God himself, everybody here, those listening online, to share our story with others. So I want to give you a short definition. It says the woman's testimony. Let me give you a definition of the word testimony. Here it is. It's in your notes. It means to bear witness from firsthand experience. In other words, when you experience something firsthand, you can share it as a testimony. If you've never experienced it, you can't share it authentically. But when you've got it in you, as this woman did, she shared it. Now, for the message today, the power of your story, I want to do this. I want to share with you four thoughts, four ideas of how your story, how the woman's story impacts other people. I mean, everybody. Four different thoughts or ideas of how when you share your faith story with other people, what it can do for them. Let's get started. In your notes, number one, why is your faith story important to others? Number one, it can change their eternal destinies. It can change a person's eternal destiny. A church was looking for a pastor, and they had two people in mind, and they asked them to come preach a trial sermon. And they both did, and they both were given the same topic. They were to speak on the topic of hell. And both candidates preached and did a really good job. One was hired, one was not. The guy that was not hired asked the chairperson of the search committee why he didn't get the job. And here's what he said. He said, but when you preached on hell, we could tell you were thankful that God had rescued us. When the other guy preached on hell, he did it with a tear in his eye. You see, hell is a subject we don't often talk a lot about, but understand that it's in the Bible. And the Bible says that there are two places after this life is over where people go. There's a heaven and there's a hell. And we find here that in Ezekiel 33:11, in your notes, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Even God himself takes no pleasure in someone who does not believe but goes to hell. And we find in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You see, God is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but for everyone to come to faith. There's over 162 references in the Bible about hell. Jesus had spoke of it at least 70 times. C.S. Lewis said if there was any doctrine he wished he could somehow expunge or take out or remove, it would be the fact that there's an actual place called hell. But he said this, there's no way I can, because it's imprinted, embedded in the words of Jesus and in the scripture. Now, many people have a question. How could a loving God send any people to hell? It's a fair question. I want to answer it this morning. And the answer is this, he doesn't. People choose which path to take. It's a cold reality, but God doesn't send anybody to hell. You know why? Because he's made provision for all human beings to find grace and to go to heaven. And so God is on the hunt, on the chase of wanting people to believe so that they can come into his family to be a part of the church as a whole and the church in heaven that is yet to come. Read with me John 5, 28 and 29 in your notes. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. So Jesus' words himself, there's a time when the people who have died, some will rise to eternal life. Some will rise to eternal condemnation. Does God send them there? No. But rather, the choice of each person will determine their eternal destiny. I came across a picture. It's called a black hole. And in the universe, they say that when a star dies, it collapses inwardly and it creates a black hole. It's got a gravitational pull and it just sucks everything into it. It's just darkness. And I thought about people who do not know Christ, and they are living in a black hole. They're without life. They're without a new spirit. They're without aliveness to God. And God is trying to rescue them. You know how he does it? Through your story and my story to other people. You see, the woman at the well, she had this incredibly black checkered past. But God used her. He can use you. But we have to be willing to share the story. And I want us to grasp that the eternal destiny after this life is over, however many years we get, the eternal destiny is at stake in our mission and other people. Here's a quote that I think summarizes it all. It's choice, not chance, that determines your destiny. You know what the choice is? When you choose grace through Christ to be a part of your heart and your life, it's a choice in what he's done for us that determines our destiny. So how can a loving God that we talk about, who the Bible says he's made of love, that's who he is, how can he send someone to a place called hell? The answer is he doesn't. It's a choice that each individual makes whether they receive Christ or not. I read about something C.S. Lewis wrote in his book called The Great Divorce. And he tells about a story of a busload of condemned spirits who made an investigative trip to heaven. And if the spirit wanted to transfer, what they had to do is they had to give up what they were hanging on to so they could leave hell to go to heaven. And as the book just unfolded this story, here's what happened. The further people got toward heaven, each one of them ended up turning back around to go to a place called hell because they weren't willing to give up the self-centeredness, the sense of pride, the sense of whatever they were hanging on to that held them back. But here's what Tim Keller wrote about hell. He said this: it's simply one's freely chosen identity apart from God. They choose it. And they're on a trajectory into infinity. Here's what it's saying. Choice is what will determine heaven or hell for every person. And so when the woman went to her hometown, it says many people believed because of the woman's testimony. I want you to grasp that your story, when you tell your faith story to other people, can have an impact on somebody's eternal destiny. If you want to get motivated in life, there's a lot of people in life who are broken and they're living in a black hole. I mean, their existence and struggle, some worse than others, but if they're separated from God in that faith relationship, listen, it's a choice that will determine our destiny. And we need to be people, children of God, who share our story to help make a difference in the people around us. Number two, the second thing your faith story can do is this. It can set people free from their past. Now, I've got some verses here. They're amazing verses, and I want us to read them together. Let's read Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Hey, you want a verse to get excited about? Take this home and memorize it and rehearse it and repeat it, meditate on it in your personal devotions. Everybody here's got a past. But God says if we confess it and we repent of it, we turn from it, you know what he'll do? He'll remove it from us as far as the east is from the west. That's exciting stuff. What do you think that woman at the well thought? With all the emotional damage and baggage, she must have felt about her past. The shame, the guilt, the sense of condemnation. And all of a sudden, she has this encounter with Jesus, and wow, she's getting free from her past. Let's read the next verse, Hebrews 8:12. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. You know what God says? If you confess something and you give it up, you say, God, forgive me. He says, God, he will remember it no more. Now, that's pretty exciting stuff. We tend to remember stuff, don't we? Here's what I've come to realize. God may have forgiven me the first time I confessed it, but it's such a part of my life, I got to work on forgetting it myself. Maybe you're in the same boat. If there's stuff that's hanging on in your life, emotionally, mentally, psychologically, that tends to pull us down, you know what it is? We need to get the Word of God, the promise of God, deep into our spirit where we become free from our past. Why? God says he will remember it no more. He'll remove it as far as the east is from the west. That's a long ways. It's a pretty good offer. And finally, one more verse, Micah 7:19, on the back of your sermon listening guide. Let's read it. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Okay, he will take your sin, my sin, the woman at the well's sin, five husbands with another man, and he will hurl them into the depths of the sea. He'll remove them as far as the east is from the west. He will remember them against you no more. We might remember them, but the point is we can get to a place when we go to work on it to get free of the things of our past. Everybody's got a past and everybody deals with stuff. But the more you and I get the Word of God, that promise onto the very site in which that very part of us that struggles with guilt and shame, listen, we can be transformed. The woman, when she encountered Jesus, started that journey with him. Here's a quote about your story. Your story is the key that can unlock someone else's prison. Share your testimony. What you have been through may be pretty bad. Maybe it's a deep struggle. Maybe very embarrassing. But when you get to a place of healing and you say, wait a minute, God can take the brokenness of your past, and as you share it with someone else, this is what happens. You will unlock someone else's prison as you share your testimony. Let me tell you, God says, I need people, I need my children, sons and daughters, to be willing to share their story. Beginning sometime in April, Pastor Jack and I are going to joint teach a class called the Scent Lab by some material by J.R. Rushick in our conference office. He worked on it during his doctoral degree. It's about 8 weeks long. And let me tell you what it'll do. It's going to activate people or help activate people of what your calling is. But it's also going to cover how to share your story. We're going to do it between the two services. We're going to do it here in the sanctuary. I'd love to have everybody come out. But here's what we want to do. We want to equip the congregation with how techniques and how you tell your story in 30 seconds or 60 seconds. You know why? We want to be like the woman at the well. That when people heard her story, somehow they came around as well. So we're going to be starting that sometime in April. So number one, understand that your faith story can change an eternal destiny of someone. Number two, it can help set people free from the past. Number three, the third thing it can do, it can give an individual a new family to belong to. Read with me, 1 John 3:1 in your notes. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. Listen, if you have Christ in your life, you are a son and daughter of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You belong to a worldwide family. You belong to a group of people that transcends race, and it transcends gender, and it just literally, you're part of a big family. And that family will one day be together in heaven. But here's what it does. It gives you connection. I've come to realize some people are blessed with amazing biological families. What do I mean by that? I mean, they're blessed with a great mom and dad. It's a very affirming home life and grandparents. And I mean, some people are just blessed with that experience. There's others of us that may not have had the total package. Maybe somebody dies early, or there's a divorce, and you grow up in a way that, well, it's not what you want, but you do the best you can, and God blesses. But listen, for some people, the church family becomes a greater blessing than a biological family. And sometimes the two should work together, but sometimes the biological family is so, wow, it's taken so many hits through the years, and you say, wow, I wish this was this, but it's not. Let me tell you, when you get connected to a church family, and even a life group of maybe 8 to 10 people, and you start to do life with them, and you feel good about that, that's the way it's supposed to work. I want to say a word about us as a church. We need to be open to new people. We need to be affirming and welcoming new people. You know why? They're in the black hole. And God wants to use you and use us to be a church that welcomes other people into a family. We got to get it right or they won't make it. So going forward, wow, we just need to the services and how we greet people and how we treat them and how we respond to new people that come in. We got to be on our toes to love them. You know why? They're looking for belonging and connection. You know what the world needs, or many of the people out there today? They're broken people. They're fractured in their relationships, a lot like the woman at the well. And they're looking for a group of people, maybe a handful, somebody to love them. And when the woman shared her story and people believed, here's what happened. They came into the family of God. They were born again. They were saved. They had a faith connection with Christ. And in so doing, they just became a part of this big picture family. Read with me John 1:12 in your notes. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Listen, it's interesting. This verse says everybody that believed, who received Christ, they had the right to become children of God. That's what happened to the woman. She believed. She told her story, and it says others believed. And so understand, wow, you can impact a person connecting with the bigger family in life if you share your story. And finally, let's read Ephesians 3:14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. Paul is saying, hey, big picture, we're talking about seven continents all around the world. There's one family in heaven and on earth, those who believe in Christ. I've got one slide for this point. Here it is. The family is God's greatest masterpiece. I want you to listen closely. God wants to add more people to his family. The price has already been paid. He just needs people, regular, ordinary people like you and me, who tell our story to other people. Like Bjorg was sharing, it goes one person to one person to one. That's all it takes, one to one. That's how you build the kingdom. But it's God's greatest masterpiece is when you get a group of people together that love each other, live life together, they do purposeful things together, they do ministry. Let me tell you, that's God's greatest masterpiece. He wants you to be a part of that, as well as others. And finally, point number four of what your faith story can do for others, it can restore wholeness to an individual's life. Read with me Matthew 4:21 in your notes. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Okay, get a picture in your mind of a boat. It's on the sea, and we've got James and John there with their father, and they're mending nets. Imagine some kind of a mesh net, and there's a big hole in it, and so I don't know, they're somehow tying it together so the fish won't get through it. They're mending it. And the word mend, circle that, is what it means. It means to repair and put the pieces back together. Understand that when you and I come to Christ, he begins to mend us. I mean, we all have broken, tattered areas in our life, and he begins to mend us. He sews this and he sews that, and he reconnects the parts that are disconnected. And it's all about wholeness. The woman had to have an amazingly fractured life. Can't imagine. Fractured. But you know what happened? When she had the encounter with Jesus and realized he's the one that can give the water of life, and she put her faith in him, he began a mending process in this woman to bring wholeness and healing to her life. He does the same thing with you. He'll take the nets in your life that are broken from may have been 10, 20, 30 years ago, may have been yesterday. And here's what he begins to bring wholeness by stitching it together, retying it and connecting parts on the inside. Because there's things that we cannot fix ourselves. But he can, because he knows everything we've ever done. And so we find here it can restore wholeness to an individual's life. So your faith story, it can change eternal destinies of others. It can set people free of their past, their shame, their guilt. It can give an individual a new sense of familyness, of being connected to the big family and the church. And it can begin to restore wholeness to an individual's life. I want you to read with me the verse there in your notes under the conclusion. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. Do you know why the woman's testimony could touch people in these four areas? It's because when she came to Christ, those four areas were touched in her life. Her eternal destiny was changed. She was on her way to heaven. She began free of her past. She began that process. She was now a part of the church family. Listen, she probably didn't have many good friends, but she became part of a bigger body. And lastly, she was on a journey of wholeness. You and I cannot give away what we do not possess. In other words, if Christ isn't in my life, I can't give these things away. It's not part of my story. On the other hand, if he is there and I'm on that faith journey connection, you know what? I've got it because I am touched in these four areas. And when I share my story with other people, they can experience the same things. So what does God want to do with us going forward, 2022? We need to become people who step out with courage, our theme for the year, to share our story. Could be 30 seconds, could be a minute. I think the pandemic greatly dampened our sense of outwardness and zeal to do this. But we're climbing out of it. We're making good progress. I'm encouraged because we're stepping up. We're seeing progress of coming together and doing good things. But we have to share our story with others so they can experience what we have. Got a couple quotes as I wrap up. Here's the first one by Rick Warren. If you give it to God, he transforms your test into a testimony and your mess into a message and your misery into a ministry. You may not think you're the greatest candidate, but neither did the woman at the well. But she was available. And you know what she did? She gave her mess to him. She gave her misery to him. And God took her life and turned it into a testimony. What's a testimony? You bear witness firsthand to a firsthand experience. I mean, it became who she was, and she shared it. You may be here today, and what is it that you need to surrender to let him transform and to make different? Because if we give it to him, just like the woman at the well, he will do something in us, and we then share our story with other people. And as Bjorg emphasized, it's one-on-one, one person at a time. That's how you grow. One person at a time. Great things happen. One last screenshot here, picture. The sun is in the palm or behind the palm of his hand. That's you in the picture, and that's your story in your hand. I want you to know there's great power in it. You have amazing power. You know why? When you share what Christ has done in your life with somebody else, could be the difference of heaven and hell going forward. It can help people be set free of their past. They can connect with the big picture family of God all over the world. And it can begin to restore a mending process in their life. It's called wholeness. There's plenty of people we all know who are deeply broken. Deeply broken. But Jesus has paid the price. And he's just waiting for other people to come to him so that they too can experience his healing grace. Let's bow in prayer. I want you to take just a few moments of silence, heads bowed and eyes closed. And here's the question. What do you need to surrender to him today? You got any messes in your life? Just surrender it. Are you being super tested in some area? Surrender it. How about your misery? We all have something. What do you need to surrender to Him? He can take your test and turn it into a testimony. He can take your mess and it becomes your message of hope to other people. He can take your misery, the pain you've experienced, and turn it into a ministry to help other people. So just take a moment now and say, what do I need to surrender right now? Do it. Father, you're listening to the prayers of your people, those here in the sanctuary and those online. And we just surrender our messes, our miseries, and the tests we have in our life, and we pray that you'll transform them. And Father, I pray for this church family that you will help us as individuals to share our story with others. In the entire 2022, may you just go before us and raise us up. Give us wisdom. Teach us how to do this, that we will be an influence in our community to help people find you, just like the woman at the well whose testimony caused other people to believe. Father, I ask for an anointing upon us as a church as we surrender all of us, all of our hearts to you in this moment, that 2022 will be an amazing year of bringing in other people who are living in a black hole. They're lost. They're separated. And so, Father, we just consecrate ourselves. We surrender ourselves. And we pray you'll go before us and make us a congregation of people that are red hot with passion and excitement to share the story of change in our lives.